So we'll get up to Daf Nun Chesam and Aleph, and we're looking at Faha Nant Nan, which is, I would say,
I have it.
Yeah, it's, well, how many lines is up from the bottom? Three, four?
Four
lines up from the bottom. So we had a Braisa, and it became clear from the Braisa that we could evaluate the measure, the medida of the kosel, without an official medida, and we could sort of estimate the midas hakosel for non-tanah. But we have our Mishnah that if he reaches a gader outside the city or a har, is mavlio v'chosel midaso. Right, as we described, you go to that side where you can be mavli and have two people on the both sides, and then you walk towards that point where they were measuring. But we see clearly that there is a tircha, and we do have to be mavliya with the chevel, with that 50 amma chevel. And here also, according to the strict law, we should require this tircha. And why would they make it with regard to a kosel? That higil a kosel, we said, ein omrim yikov a kosel. Ela omdo v'holichlo, it just makes an evaluation and estimation. So the Gemara says, hasam, in the Mishnah, with regard to a har, or a goder, we're talking about a case, the nichotash mishta, that you can easily use that area. In other words, the slant is not very sharp, which would make it impossible to have any benefit from it. So it's very easy to rise, to climb up on the incline, and to do the avla. And therefore the Chacham were not willing to be makil and say, just let's do an umdana, let's just imagine and evaluate, guess what it would be without a tashmish, without doing an actual medida. So when he says hacha in the braisa, legabi kosel, lo nicha tashmishta, and we said it's a very sharp incline, it's very difficult to do the process, to implement the process of lavliya, and therefore the chacham would make you, and they said that umdana, to just shots up, to evaluate the rochav without a medida, is acceptable, and is, we're going to rely on that. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, lo shonu, when did the chacham say that in the case of a gay, mekadrin? And that means it's the Efshel of Leo. You can't get two people standing on both sides of this ravine with a 50 amma long rope. And therefore we're going to allow for Makadrin. That's only El She'en Achut Hamish Koles Yored Kenegdo. So I'm going to read to you the Hebrew translation. He says, She'ashipua Hagei Eino zokuf kol kach, so it's not such a sharp incline. V'noach lahalich bo, kasher mishalshelin chut mashkoles habnoim. So we have a chut, a rope, that on the bottom, it has a weight. The weight is made of lead. And the builders, in this case, use this kind of a kli in order to check out and measure the wall to see if it's a straight wall. And basically from the Sfasa Gay, if you go to the outer lip of this ravine, then Eino Yored Kenegdo, Dahainu Eino Yored Bekav Yashar, you won't be able to set up a straight line going down, because at some point the slant juts out and you'll see the mishkoles, this weight on the bottom of the rope, on different sides. You know, sometimes it moves forward, sometimes it moves backwards. So this is the case where we say Eif Shalav Leo, and the reason is because Ein Chuta Mishkolos Yored Kenegdo. You won't have a straight line going from the chut on top of the ravine all the way down to this mishkoles, to this lead weight on the bottom. And now we're on Nun Ches Amud Beis. Avol bi ofen shashipua hagai zokuk bi yoser. So it means that if you hold this rope as you're standing at the very edge, the ledge of the guy, you will find that the chut goes straight down on a vertical line where the mishkoles, the weight of the lead on the bottom of this rope is exactly parallel to the vertical line that goes up to the person who's on the Sfasa ravine and holding on to that rope. And since it's a kav yashar, a straight vertical line until it gets to the bottom, so it means that the incline of the inner part of this ravine is not moved to one side or the other. It doesn't have jutting positions, and therefore in such a case we would say that ein modinus ashipul a guy klal el yori lekarkos. In this case, we don't have to judge the shipua by measuring it with the chevel, but rather we have to climb down the mountain, so to speak, and we have to do a proper medida. And what does this mean? So I have a diagram. He says, modeid rak es hashetach hayoshar shevetachtis hagei v'yotzei l'sfas hagei v'shalem umashlim es medidas tchumei ha'ir. So he simply climbs down that area, which is a straight area leading down to the tachtis, to the bottom of this ravine, and then he climbs up the other side and he completes his medida of Tchumei Ha'ir. So in this particular case, we don't have that kulo, that leniency of being Mavliya, but rather we simply measure it down and then up again. So I'm just trying to analyze this diagram that he has. On the right side of the diagram, obviously laying on ground level, he has the city. Then, from the outer house of the city, he calculates 1,000 amma, and then he's ready to go down into the ravine. So what he does is, he measures an area that's less than 4 amos, going from east to west. Then he drops his chevel straight down. In this case, he has 44 amos going down. Then he has, I guess, if I understand correctly, another 44 amos going up. So that would be 88 amos. And now when he gets to the top again, so then he has 956 amos going away from the city on the top. Now, 1 second, how does he get to 956? He multiplied. Not clear to me. Let's see if he's got 48. So wait, how much is 44 plus 956? Is 1,000, am I correct? Ah, I see what's happening. He's got a gap going on the straight line between the ground level of the city and the ground level that's on the other side of the ravine. So if he can measure the ground level on the bottom of the ravine, then he can imagine lifting it up to create a straight line across. So if his, let's say, measurement from the bottom of the ravine from the east to the west is 44 amos, then if I add the 44 amos to the 1,000 amos, and then when I get up to the top, I have 956 amos, so that totals 2,000 amos. However, the only thing is we have to add the amos that go from the level of the city, the ground level, up to the point where he can drop a straight line and hit the bottom of the ravine. Because that section also has to be added to the tchum. The Tum's Ha'ir. And let's say he's got less than 4 amos. What is it? We'll call it 3.5 amos. And then if you add another 3.5 amos on the other side, you're left with 7 amos. So you have the 1,000 plus the 44 plus the 956, that equals 2,000. Plus you have to add another 7 amos in order to get yourself to that point where you could drop that straight line that will not be affected by the incline and will take your sinker all the way down to the bottom of the ravine. So in this piece of In this case, when the Gemara says Umodado Mida Yofa, he says Modeid Rakis Ashetech HaYoshar Shebetachtis HaGei. So he's only measuring that straight line on the bottom, the floor of the ravine, and then Yotzei L'Sfas HaGei. He goes up to the top of the Gei, which means surface level. Mashlim is Medidas Tchumei Ha'ir. So I'm just trying to summarize this footnote. He has a long footnote here. Let me just see for a moment if the English adds anything here. Second. He says, if a plumb line would descend straight down, Modado Medida Yofa, he measures the valley properly along its floor and ignores the walls. So the incline of the walls is so steep that the plumb line would fall less than 4 amos out of the top of the valley. He's not required to measure the valley's walls, since they are so steep as to be nearly vertical, but rather it's sufficient for him to measure the edge of the valley, descend and measure its floor, and then ascend and continue measuring the tchum from the other side of the valley. That is, in the case if the valley is wider than 50 amos, so they can only be measured by piercing. However, if the valley is narrow enough to be spanned, he must do so, even though this takes into account the area taken up by the incline. So the Gemara tries to clarify what kind of a gay is this din referring to. Ad kamahu omko shel gay, how deep is this valley that we're going to apply the din of Havla when it's not wider than 50 Amah? Omer Rav Yosef, Alpayin. So it means that the depth of the gay is up to 2,000 Amah. He says, Pirushe kasher mahalech omko shel gay misfoso sfoso. If he goes down the valley and comes up on the other side, it's going to be 2,000 amah. A little bit less than 2,000. But if the gay is deeper than that, is then ein rashoy lavlio, af im ein rochav yoser michamishim amah elamikadro. So it's very interesting. The depth now plays a role. We always thought that the issue of Havla is dependent upon the width that separates one side of the ravine on the surface level of the ground and the other. But now we're saying, no, there's another element that comes into play into the equation, and that's the depth of the ravine. And the depth of the ravine, if it goes beyond 2,000 amah, then we're not going to allow Havla, despite the fact that the opening of the ravine is less than 50 Amma wide. So we thought there was just a general halach in the ravine that if you can hop over the ravine with 50 Ammas, then it's okay to do Havla. He says no. If the ravine is less than 2,000 Amma deep, then you could do Havla, but if it's more than 2,000 Amma deep, then you're going to have to do what's called Mekadro. And if you recall, the Mekadro means you actually climb down the valley, and you measure every 4 Amos as you're going down. So that's the story of Rav Yosef. Esve Abaye. Abaye apparently is not happy with Rav Yosef. He says, if this gay is 100 amah deep and it is 50 amah wide, mavlio vim lav. I guess Abai's quoting a brisa, if it's less than the shear of 100 amah deep and 50 amah wide, mavim lav means it's more than the shear of 100 amah. And it might be more than the width of 50 amah, is ein mavlio. So it seems that the shear for the depth of the guy, as far as the ability and the possibility of implementing havla, is mea amah, whereas Rav Yosef said it's 2,000 amah. So that according to this brisa, if you have a ravine that's more than 100 amah steep, that already excludes it from Havla, whereas Rav Yosef would give you all the way up to 2,000 amah. So the Gemara answers that this din in a machlokes tanoim depends upon the two opinions. According to Tana Kama, so ein mavlin elagai omek ad mea amah. But Rav Yosef, who says that it's up to 2,000 amah, the Omar Ka'cherim, who disagree with the Tanakhama, the Sanya, Acherim Omer Afilu Gei Amok Alpayim Am of Rochav Chamishim Am of Leo. So we have now a basic machlokus tanon. Ika diamri. Others say that when Rav Yosef made a statement, it was different. He said, "Om Rav Yosef, afilu yeser me arpayim amo." Even if the gay is more than 2,000 amos deep, you could still do avla, assuming that the width on top is less than 50 amo. Kiman de lo kitanakama. The Tanakhama said that it's up to 100 amma, and the Achirim said that it's only as far as 2,000 amma, but not beyond 2,000 amma. So my answer is Hasam, there in the Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Achirim, we're talking about what kind of gay, She'ein chut ha-mishkoles yored kinegdo. Whereas Hacha, Bechut hamishkoles yored kinegdo. So we're all, everything depends upon the steep, you know, the nature of the steepness of this ravine. How straight down does it go? If it's not so straight down, which means ein chut hamishkoles yored kinegdo, you won't have a straight line going from the chut on top down to the lead that weighs it down on the bottom. So you could walk down this ravine, admittedly with great difficulty and very dangerous, but you could do it. So in such a case, they were machmir, and they said there's no afla unless it's 100 amas deep, according to Tanakhama, or 2,000 amas according to Acherim. But hacha, When Rav Yosef said that the gay is zakuf biyoser, it's very, very steep in a way that you can't climb down without killing yourself, is then bechut hamishkoles yored kinegdo. If the weight on the bottom is exactly parallel in a straight line to the top, into the chevel on top, is me'achraveno royally hiluch, since it's not walkable without killing yourself, is he kilubo chachamim lavlio afilu hu yoser amok mi'alpayim amo. So this Rav Yosef, which doesn't seem to fit into any of the patterns of the Tanoim, he's talking about a case where it's absolutely impossible to go down the bottom of the ravine, because the chut hamishkoles yored kinegdo, it's a straight line, that's how steep it is, and therefore the Rambanan had to come up with a kula, and they allowed you to mavlia a ravine that's even more than 2,000 amah deep, which, as we said before, even according to the Shita of Acherim, it was only up to 2,000 amma. Now we're talking about more than 2,000 amma. But the answer is, it's just impossible to engineer such a medida, because that's how steep it is, like a 90-degree angle going straight down. So the Gemara now clarifies what exactly is the shear, the merchak of a chut hamishkolas. The chi ein chut hamishkolas yored kinegdo ad kama. And what about a case where the chut hamishkolas cannot end up exactly on a straight line down? How much does the chut hamishkolas have to jut out beyond the sfas hagei, so that's considered ein yored kinegdo? Omer Avimi says arba amos. So it means if the outer lip of the gay is four amos, then it's considered ein chut hamishulash hamashkoles yored kinegdo. V'chein toni Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yechezkel, shir ha-merchak shel chut ha-mishkoles, hu arba amos. So we'll just read this here. He says the following. Amar Rav Yosef, afilu elef, afilu yesem alpayim, even if the valley is more than 2,000 amas deep, it may be spanned with the havla. And then we're in trouble because Keman, whose opinion is Rav Yosef following? It's not that of the Tanakhama, nor that of the Acherim. Because the Tanakhama puts the emphasis on 100 Amma, and the Acherim on 2,000 Amma. Now you're talking about even more than 2,000 Amma. So the Gemara answer is that Rav Yosef's case differs from the case which is a subject of dispute between the Tanakhama and the others in the Braisa. Hasam, the Braisa is dealing with a valley in which the plumb line does not descend straight down. The walls incline moderately. But Hacha, Rav Yosef is talking about a case in which the plumb line designs straight down. The walls are absolutely vertical, and therefore it's inaccessible. There's no way you can go down there without killing yourself. And therefore he permits spanning the valley, meaning the havla on top, no matter how deep it is. So now the Gemara considers how much the plumb line must deviate from its natural path of descent before we classify the valley walls as sloping moderately. V'chi ein chut hamashkoles yored kenegdo, if the plumb line doesn't go straight down, is that kama? How much must it deviate from the straightness of the line until it's no longer considered a vertical line? Amar avini arba, four amos, and that's also Rabbi Bar Yechezkel, four amos. He says in the footnote, as long as the plumb line would land less than 4 amas away from the top of the valley, meaning the edge of the valley, the walls are considered inaccessible. Although the slope's angle is determined by the depth of the valley as well as by how far away from the wall the plumb line lands, Chazal set the 4 amas standard irrespective of the valley's depth. Now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Higia lahar mavlio v'chozer limidoso. When he hits up against the mountain, then he spans the mountain and returns to his measuring. So that's basically a kind of havla. Amar Rava lo shanu el bahar mislaket asor mitoch arba v'bahar mislaket asor mitoch chamesh. Modido medida yafa. So if the mountain is so steep that even within 10 tefachim it already mislake ba'asor mitoch arba, so the mountain has a height that rises 10 tefachim within a very short span, an area of four amos, that's considered a case of higia har lahar mavlio v'chozel midoso, avol bahar mislaket asor mitoch chamesh. But if the rise is less sharp, meaning within a 5 amma period, it becomes very, very slanted, is modido medidi yofa. Then there are no kulas. He has to measure the tchum along the mountain slope going down, and we're going to do the 4 amas each time. Rav Huna Bereid Rav Nasan Masni Lekula. He has a different tradition of Rava Lekula. Amar Rava Lo Shanu. When did they say that you have to span the mountain? Ela bahar mislaket asor mitoch chamesh. if the mountain is hot, its height rises 10 tfachim within 5 amos. Abel Bahar Mislakit Asar Mitoch Arba. If the mountain's height rises 10 tfachim within a short span of 4 amos, is then we could be more mekil and omdo v'holichlo. He just estimates the width and continues measuring. He doesn't even have to span them out. Then the Mishnah says, Ubilvad shelo yetze chutz l'tchum, that he doesn't go out of the tchum when he spans the valley. My taima, Amrav Kahana, gzer shem yomru mida midas tchumin ba'al akan. The onlooker might mistakenly assume that the tchum boundary reaches out here, where the surveyors are bounding, are spanning, and that's already beyond the tchum of 2,000 amma. So to avoid any of this confusion, Chazal made it a takana that the surveyors are not allowed to leave the tchum area in order to measure the tchum. Now we go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Im eno yochalav lio, if he's unable to span it, so Rav Dostoy says in the name of Rabbi Meir that I heard that you can do kedira, makdirin. This Tana Rabbana we learned in a brisa, ketzad makdirin. How do we do this piercing in the mountain? Tachton keneged libo, elyon keneged margolosov. So the top one going down, who's holding on to a rope of 4 tefachim, he will put the rope against his chest. And the guy that he's giving it to, a little bit lower down, he's got the 4 amos connected his feet. And in this way, they're able to measure the slope. But again, it's a big kula because, you know, they're creating some sort of a 90-degree angle. It's Omer Abai Naktinon. We hold that Ein Mekadrin El Bechevel Shel Arba Amos. Right, this process of Mekadrin going down the mountain applies to a Hevel of 4 Amos. And one surveyor holds the 4 Amos Hevel at his chest level, the other at his feet level. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Bar Vavo. Is Ein Mekadrin Lo Bi Egla Arufa V'lo Be'ore Mikla B'nei Shehen Shel Torah. And this is a Gemara later on, that the Gemara says that the standards and the requirements of Medida are that much more demanding. They are more meticulous in the case of Doraisas. We have two cases of Medida Doraisa. One is the Egla Rufa, and the other is Ari Miklat. And Tchumen is only Derabbanan. Therefore, in Tchumen Derabbanan, there's a lot more leniencies, in which we even have Mekadrin, which is a leniency in terms of evaluating the land of the slope itself. So the Mishnah says, do we get to the Mishnah yet? Maybe we didn't. I think we got to the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Ein modedin ela min hamumcha. In other words, those who are in charge of medidas tchumei Shabbos have to be experts. And you would have said that applies to Doraisas like Miklat or Egla Rufa, but here we're talking about Tchumen Derabbanan, but yet we have to hire, you know, surveyors that are absolutely experts, totally reliable. Riba l'makom echonumiyat l'makom acher. If he was measuring the Tchum on one part, and he was marbe, And in another part, he was Mimayit, so he measured the Tchum of the city towards the west, let's say. And he did it in two places. So on the, for example, on the northeastern side and on the southeastern side, these are two tzadim of the same makom, is hirba satchuma irbi echra makomos yosem in hasheni. He, I guess, made a mistake, if I'm not mistaken, and he measured on one side more than he measured on the other side. Yishomin lamakom shariba, then we will be koveh l'tchum l'kula based on the midah that was expanded. And that's going to apply even for the other side where he was memayit. And we'll be mekil, and we're going to assume that when he got to the other part, he didn't stretch out the chevel properly, and that's why he ended up with a shorter calculation. Riva echad umiyat le'echad shomim le'meruba. So I'm not sure exactly what he's adding here. He says in the translation that madadu shnei anoshim es hatchum biyoso makom. Hirba echad me'am b'miyas hatchum yoso michavero. So I don't know why somebody else came along and did another medida, implying that, you know, we're not relying on your first medida. But in any event, he came up with a longer medida. We're going to listen to the first fellow who had a ribui medida, rather than the one who had a shorter medida. And once again, we're applying the principle of kula. V'afilu eved v'afilu isha, afilu shivcha, ne'monim lomar adkan tchum shavis. In other words, we don't have to measure tchutz l'tchum every single Shabbos. We can rely on what it was in the past. And who's going to testify for us what the medida, where did it end in the past? It could even be an eved or a shivcha. Now, he points out here in the translation that it could be even an eved and a shivcha did the actual medida. However, I see in the note, he quotes the Me'iri. The Me'iri says, we're not going to believe them if they said they did the Medida, but rather they believe to say that we saw so-and-so, who's a great mumcha, he achieved the Medida. And this is where he got to. This is the end of the Tchum Shabbos. So again, they're only testifying that they saw the Medida. And the Medida was actually implemented by Mumchen. But we'll be able to trust them. Now, this might come under the halacha of Eidach and Nem Bisurin. But then you have an issue about whether Eidach and Nem Bisurin applies to Psule Eidus, an evident of Shivcha Apostle Eidus. So I suspect that what's going on here in this Mishnah is that we're not talking about Eidus at all. This whole din of Isur Tchumin, lahachmir el lahakel. The Chacham made a gzeira that he shouldn't go chutz l'tchum, but the way they set it up, it had a built-in proviso that they should not have to be machmir in these dinim, but rather we should be mekel in these dinim. And I'm thinking out loud that this should be a machlokas tanoim, actually. Because we seem to be assuming that Tchumen is Drabonon, but there are Tanoim all that Tchumen is Doraisa. Now we're up to Daf Nun Tes. The Mishnah tells us that he was Riba b'makom Achad u'mir b'makom Acher, Shomim lo b'makom Ariba. And the Gemara thinks now that what the Mishnah has in mind is that we're not going to listen to the place where he was memayit klal, where he made it a shorter. She'ein rashoy lelech bi oso chatz afilu ad makom shemiyet. Lefi she'tolim anu shemedidoso shamu etesi. So the Gemara asks, is lemakom shariba in lemakom shemiyet lo? Is the Mishnah actually saying that he can go to the Makom Shariba, but he cannot go to the Makom Shemiyat?
This is within 2,000, right? You can't go past the 2,000.
Correct. He's not allowed to go past 2,000, but you have two different medidos. One medida gave you what seems to be more than 2,000. The other only gave you less than 2,000. So we seem to be relying on the one who gave you more than 2,000. Let's see if we can figure out what exactly is bothering the Gemara. The Gemara says, can it be? Right, the Mishnah's ruling is that if one measurement was found to be larger than the other, we permit a person to walk to the place of the longer measurement. Can it be that he is permitted to the place that he extended the boundary, but that to the place where he shortened the boundary, he is not permitted to walk? In other words, the Mishnah seems to be disqualifying the Makom Shemiyet. But that doesn't make any sense, because if he's allowed to go all the way out to the Makom Shariba, then certainly he's allowed to walk to the Makom Shemiyat. So the Gemara now reinterprets. He says, Ema afla Makom Shariba. The Mishnah is saying that you don't have to stop at the place where he was Mamayit. You can go all the way out to the place where he was Marbe. Riba liyechad umiyat liyechad. So one person extended it and the other shortened it, and we rely on the one who extended it. Is Hasu Lomali Hainuach? I mean, we just finished saying that if there's one Marbe and one Mamait, we go after the Marbe. So what are you telling me here that I don't know? You're just reiterating what we said. Hachi Koma. This is the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Riba Echad Umiyat Echad. One extended the boundary and one shortened it. Shomim lezeh shariba. We listen to the one who extended it. So how does that answer the Gemara's question? He says the following. The Hebrew may be a little bit more clarified better. He says, "Ein a mishno sekes kan bi oso ofen sheoska mitchila b'medida b'shnei makomos el oskim hi b'shnei anoshim mardu bi oso makom." Ah, I didn't catch that. So now the Mishnah is adding a situation where one of them clearly made a mistake, because they checked the tchum and they measured it exactly, both of them in the same place. And one was Marba the Medina Satchum, the other was Memait the Medina Satchum. So the Mishnah says that Holchim Acha Medidoso Shel Marba, and that's Lukula. Because if we only had the first case, that would be a case where we assume that one of them, that they both made a correct, accurate Medida, just as one was at a certain point in the city, the other is at a different point. But if we know that one of them is making a mistake for sure, can we still rely on the one who made a mistake lakula? Amar Abaye. How large of a gap of a discrepancy is there between the two bididos? Right, the Mishnah says that if two people were modeed the same tchum, we go by the marbe. He says, "Ubelvad shlo yarbe yosem ibida seir be'alachsona. So this din only applies in a situation where you could justify the discrepancy between the two conveyor or surveyors. Litlos zahefish beinem b'kach shememayit ta'a b'medidas hatchum. Maybe the one who came up with the shorter calculation, he made a mistake. Because if there's a hefresh mu'at, if there's a short or minimal gap and discrepancy, then we could say that maybe the mamayit didn't stretch out his chevel as much as he could have, and he made an honest-to-goodness mistake. Af im hefresh meruba nitan litlos b'kach shememayit ta'a b'din alachsa. And we could also introduce another possible, you know, unintentional mistake, and that has to do with the din of a lachson, tahainu, shemodad tchum alpaim amashal ir balachson mina kronos. So when he gets to the corners of the city, then he measures the tchum of 40 of 2,000 amma from the Kronos, from the outer boundary city houses. Then he tried to measure the distance between one keren and the other. Now he's reducing the tchum, she'enu al aleph alpayim amah b'kronos, the aleph arbamios esrim ushmonim amos b'emtza ir. So it's 1,428 amos in the middle of the city. Vilu amarba osa kalocho, modet alpayim ushmoshmeos, ushmonomeos, amo. Sorry, I forgot to shut off my phone. Hi, Mayan, I'll call you right back, okay? I'm in the middle of a shir. Okay, thanks. Hey, that was my granddaughter. So Amar Abai again, Bilvaj lo yar be yosem imedidas or ir balakso. How far did the medida of the marbe exceed beyond the mamai? He says that it didn't go beyond the measure of the city as defined by its diagonal. Okay, as a footnote here, number 5, he says, for the longer measurement to be accepted, the discrepancy between the two measurements may not exceed 585 amos. The reason for this is that in order for us to accept the longer measurement as accurate and the shorter one as an error, it must be feasible for the discrepancy to be the result of a plausible error and not just a sloppy measurement. We cannot assume that the expert who measures was shorter, whose measure was shorter, was grossly inaccurate. Where the discrepancy is small, we can account for it by the difference in the tautness of the ropes. When the discrepancy, however, is large, the difference is too great to be attributed to the stretching of the rope. Nevertheless, we can assume that the shorter measurement was obtained by erroneously measuring the 2,000 amma of the tchum diagonally from the corners of the city rather than perpendicularly. You will have to see these diagrams. He says, by connecting these four diagonal lines, he formed a tchum square in which the perpendicular width of the tchum is only 1,415 amos. Which is a shortfall of 585 amos. So if you add 585 to 1,415, you get 2,000 amos. See the diagram. Such an error is possible, and the larger tchum is accepted. So again, what was the nature of the mistake of the Mamayit? If you take the city and you have a square, the diagonal of 2,000 amma that goes down the middle of the city is going to allow for 1,415 amma in each direction. So that's called diagonally. And if he would have done it perpendicularly, the 2,000 amma, so that would leave a discretion of 585 amma. So that would be the allowance for someone who made that mistake of, instead of using the perpendicular width of the tchum, he used the diagonal lines. So let me just quickly read it again. We may assume that the shorter measurement was obtained erroneously by measuring the 2,000 amma the tchum diagonally from the corners of the city. And I think what he's saying is that, let's say you were at one corner of the city and you wanted to know how large the city was, so you would take the square of the city and you would imagine a diagonal line going down the middle of the city. That'll take you from one end of the city all the way to the other end of the city. But if you do that, then when you measure the outer part of the city, you're going to end up with only 1,415 amas outside the city, and you're allowed 2,000 amas. Whereas if he would have used the perpendicular, then he would end up with 2,000 amma. Did you catch what he meant? I didn't follow what he meant by the perpendicular.
I guess that's from which way you're measuring it.
What exactly was his error that led to this discrepancy of 585 amos, because he only got up to 1,415. What he apparently did was, he measured the 2,000 amos of the tchum Shabbos diagonally from the corners of the city.
He should have done the corner. He should have done the sides.
Right, so if he did it from the corner, so how distant is it from the corner to the 2,000 amma? It's that line. Okay, so since he got up to that line, then when you make that line, which is again 2,000 amos out of the city, and you make it into a, in other words, you want to set up an equidistant around the city, so you want to set it up as 2,000 amos around the city, then now what you're going to find is that you have only 2,000 amma from that corner of the city to the outer line, which we want to wrap around. And now you're going to end up with 1415. Not sure exactly why that's so. I guess you have to know a little bit more about math for that. Right, he connected the four diagonal lines forming a tchum square with the perpendicular width of the tchum 1415. See, I'm trying to figure out how you work the mathematics here, that if you draw a line from the diagonal, from the corners, as we said, you end up with 2,000 amma, and then the width of the tchum is 1415. Now, if you do it the right way, then you're going to measure from the corner house 2,800 amma. And why is that? Because you're going to measure 2,000 amma from the middle of the city, and on each side you're going to give yourself 2,000 amma, ending up with a diagonal of 2,800 amma, and you're left with that discrepancy of 585 amma. In any event, that's the limit of a mistake, of an error that we're going to allow. And then the Mishnah says, "Shelo yomru chachamim es hadavar lahachmir el lahakel." Right, that the Rabbanon, when they set up tchumen, they did it lekula because it's only a Rabbanon. Vasanya. Lo omru chachamim es hadover lahakel el lahachmir. So we see the opposite, that we're always going to be machmir in the case of measuring the tchumen, because we're going to consider tchumen as a doraisa, and therefore we have to go sofik lechumer. So how do we square that with the statement of Abaye, that we go basa the marve because it's a suffek lakula amaravina lo lahakel al divrei Torah lahachmer al divrei Torah utchumin derabana? That if the chachamim had instituted the iser tchumin, then enochinami could be more lenient than a doraisa. But since they wanted to be machmer on a divrei Torah, Elahachmer al divrei Torah, is therefore we're going to have to be machmer. But tchumen, in fact, is only derabanan. Let me just see how he formulates this. He says the kavanas haMishnah he lo amru chachamim din tchumen lahakel al divrei Torah lahachmer al divrei Torah sharei min haTorah shoy adam. Lotzeis mechutz l'tchum b'Shabbos v'chachomim gozru shalo lotzeis nivtzo shechmiru yosem idin Torah v'omnom din tchum idrabanon u'lefichach yesh lodun b'chol sofek shebo lahakya. So we're going to apply the principle of sofek drabanon l'kula. So when it says in the Braisa lo'omru chachom lahakya el lahachmir, What that means is, with regard to the very fundamental enactment of Gzeiras Tchumen, Rabbanan being machmir on top of the Torah, because the Torah doesn't have any limitations of Tchum. However, when it says in our Mishnah, Lo Omru Chachamim Lahachmir El Lahakel, what that means is, as far as Sfeikus is concerned, that come up in these various dinim, then we're going to follow the Kula, because the fundamental establishment of the Issur Tchumen is Derabbanan, and therefore we apply the principle of Safek Derabbanan Lekula. So that's going to lead us to this Mishnah here on Daf Nun Tes from an Aleph, which Amir Tzashem, we will, let's see, next Monday is a fast day, correct? And Sunday is Rosh Hashanah. So you'll let me know. It would seem that if we go according to schedule, then we would meet a week from Sunday. Is that how many days is that before Yom Kippur? I get confused.
When is Yom Kippur?
If Rosh Hashanah is on a Shabbos,
yeah,
then so Yom Kippur, I think, will be on a Tuesday. So in theory, we could get together not a week from today, which is Rosh Hashanah, but the following Sunday, which would be Aseret Yemei Teshuva.
My only problem is I might have a session. I'm not sure what time this is. I might have to do a session online with Michael on that Sunday morning at 9 o'clock.
All right, so you'll let me know as soon as you know.
Okay.
All right, great.
I will.
All right, thanks
okay.
So much.
Shana
Tova.
Yeah, Shana Tova.
Good convention.
Yeah, I'm very good. It works out.
It's lots of nachas.
Okay.
Hi, Mayani. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, good. Baruch Hashem.
So I just was mentioning that I just was thinking I'd call you. And I wanted to know if we could schedule like the next meeting thing.
Would you want to schedule for tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Yes, sure.
Tomorrow works out for you?
Okay.
Let's think. How about 4 o'clock? Is that cool?
4 o'clock.
Where were you?
I have
babysitting?
At 5.
cook at 5. So you want to make it 3:30?
Yes, 3:30.
Okay, great. So write down 3:30. Okay. And if you have my email list, you just press on Daf Yomi. It's the first one on the list.
And it just goes into your Zoom?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
All right, then.
Wait, but I don't remember.
You know what? I can send you. I'll send you an email.
The last time it didn't work.
Oh, so what did work at the end? Do you remember?
I have a clue. She sent me like a Zoom meeting thing, like a link
that I just
messaged her Gmail.
But it wasn't.
I mean, it's a link.
It wasn't a link from my Gmail. You know, I have all the links on my Gmail.
I'm not sure. We'll see. Okay, I'll try.
All right, we'll
I'll
do.
I'll try the Gmail one, and I'll try the one you sent me.
I'll send you right now. I'll send you an email, and you'll see on the bottom of the email all the list of Zooms, and I thought we'll try the first one on the list and see if it works.
Okay.
It's called Daf Yomi. Okay, thanks. Bye. Maya Charn? Okay, I don't know what's with me today. Maybe I got dehydrated because of the walk. I don't know, I'm so tired. Shirani. So you didn't give him my number, did you? Okay. All right, so I'm going to go up there. It's a heavy package, or? Okay, I just put it in the inside the house. So that again, just to introduce this Mishnah, what we're saying is that with regard to Erev Chatzeros, again, dropping the subject of this perek, which was Erev Tchumen, and regard to Sheet of Mavos, when you have a city and the city needs Erev Chatzeros, each chatzah needs to participate in that Erev, and afterwards the various chatzeros spill into a common mavui, and they need therefore Sheet of Mavos, and you're going to set up one for the entire city, then what we're worried about is that perhaps people won't know that the heter here of Tiltel is based on the fact that there was an Eruv. They're going to think that you're giving a Taltel and Rishus a Rabin. So the Rabbana required a heker to explain and convey the message that the heter here of Tiltel is based on the Eruv. How do they set up the heker? What they do is they divide the city into two parts. And they're going to say, well, we cannot have one, you know, one indivisible area for the entire city. We're going to have to split it. And we're going to say that those who are in one part of the area cannot carry into the other, and vice versa. So you'll have, for example, Rov Anshia Ir that get together and set up one Eruv. You have the Miut of Anshir that sets up their own Eruv, and they cannot carry from one to the other. And this din doesn't apply unless you have what's called an Ir Shel Rabim, because then with Choshesh that they might come to be in Taltan Rishusarab, but not in an Ir Shel Yochid. Then we don't have such a Chashash. So our Mishnah is going to explicate what is the din of an Ir Shel Yochid, and what if it becomes an Ir Shel Rabim, or the exact opposite. So that's what we're going to study in Mirz Hashem in the next Mishnah. So we're now up to Nuntes Amud Aleph, and we're about a third way down the Amud, and we're up to the Mishnah.